Hello, beautiful ladies. Dr. Emily Kybert here with Thyroid Strong Podcast. We are going to talk about a very specific topic today that I see in every single one of my one-on-one clients who I work with inside of my root cause functional medicine practice. And we are going to talk about sleep. If you are waking up at 2 a.m. with a racing mind, you have no idea why you woke up. Maybe you go to the bathroom and you're laying awake for hours, even though you are exhausted, like hit by a bus exhausted, you are not alone. I see this all the time. Sleep is one of the first places I start in my functional medicine practice. It is the lowest hanging fruit when it comes to giving someone their energy back. When you clean up someone's sleep and you give them their energy back, with that energy, they can do anything and their whole world changes. With that energy, they can be present with their kids. They could build a business. They could put all that energy into losing weight. So this is why looking at sleep to give you your energy back, I would say even before thyroid function, adrenal function, gut health, all the functional medicine root causes, when you look at sleep, your whole world changes. This is why I always say before thyroid hormones, hormones are reactive. Before adrenal labs, before gut infections or mold, we start with the foundation. And in the foundation are four pillars: sleep, how you're eating, and when it comes to sleep, when you're eating, how you're moving your body, steps, strength, resistance training, and nervous system regulation. Because if the foundation is not built in a solid place, no supplement, no protocol, no prescription is going to stick. And at the very center of that foundation is sleep. So in today's episode, I'm walking you through six different root causes of sleep disturbance that I see all the time with women with Hashimoto's in my practice. We'll talk about cortisol spikes, blood sugar crashes, hidden mold exposure, and oftentimes undiagnosed or missed sleep apnea. I run a sleep study on every single client I work with if they have fatigue, which is basically everyone. So I'm going to share with you some patient stories and weave those through this episode. Women that probably sound just like you. And then I'll talk about how we address each of these root causes so that they could sleep through the night. And when they started sleeping, they finally felt like they started healing. So let's dive in. Six root causes of sleep disturbance with Hashimoto's. One of them that I often see is a spike in cortisol at night. Cortisol is your stress hormone. It is meant to wake you up, get you out of bed, get you moving. It peaks 30 minutes after you wake up, and then it goes down as the rest of the day. So think of cortisol like the sun. And as the rest of the day goes on, as cortisol goes down, melatonin is like the moon. It puts you to bed. But sometimes people have a cortisol curve that doesn't look like the sun. It looks like flatlined, and then it spikes at night. So I have someone, a client in my practice, Lisa. She is a 44-year-old mom of three. She used to wake up every night at 2:30, like bing, and she would go to bed totally wired, tired, difficulty falling asleep. When she finally fell asleep, a couple hours later, she was waking up. Thoughts racing, some anxiety. As we were working with her, I was like, okay, we need to track your sleep. Not only how many hours of sleep you're getting, but your deep sleep. And if you don't know this, you should start tracking. I love an Oura ring for this. And you should be getting 1.5 to 2 hours of deep sleep. I don't care if you sleep 8 hours, 10 hours, 6 hours. If you're not getting 1.5 to 2 hours of deep sleep a night, your body is not resting and recovering properly. So we had her get an Oura ring to track her deep sleep. We also got her a cortisol salivary test. So checking her cortisol throughout the day. And there is one of these tubes that you spit into and track through the day that would track at night if you woke up at night. And sure enough, when she woke up at night, she spit into the tube, sent it in, and her cortisol was spiking at night, waking her up. So one of the first steps we did was to address getting sunlight on the face. When she first woke up, direct sunlight, 20 minutes, maybe 15 minutes in the morning, and then supplements to help either bring her cortisol down in the evening or to bring her cortisol up during the day. Just know that with a salivary cortisol curve, it should look like the sun, right? Wakes you up, spikes half an hour later, and then goes down the rest of the day. If it's high all day, you can be tired. Don't just assume that because it's high all day, you're wired and like jacked on coffee feeling. I've seen people's cortisol high all day, exhausted. I've seen people's cortisol never spike and stay low all day and they're exhausted. So just know that where your cortisol is at doesn't necessarily correlate to wired or tired. Both high and low can feel like you're tired. Then for Lisa, we also addressed this chronic stress piece. How could she regulate her nervous system with her three kids? We know kids are dysregulating. We know that chronic low-grade stress can cause dysregulation in our hypothalamic pituitary axis. And one of the tools I really loved for her to tap into is your daily health app. It is not sitting around meditating for 30 minutes. It is not journaling for 30 minutes. It is literally within a couple minutes re-regulating your nervous system through breathing, tactile stimulation, and eye movements. We use phosphatidylserine in the afternoon to bring her cortisol down, morning sun exposure, and then hello, no screen time 3 hours before bed. And if you are going to sit in front of the TV and call it bonding with your husband, wear some blue blocker glasses. I will drop the link in the show notes of my favorite brand. Number two, a drop in blood sugar overnight. So I had a client, Stephanie. She had two kids. She had been carnivore for many years. She was like, I'm hitting my protein. I'm lifting my weights. I'm like, you are my girl. And her whole goal was to get her energy back and not drink four monster drinks all day to get her energy back, especially at around 3 p.m. when her kids needed to come home from school. She felt like she had to pound two monster drinks right at that time. She would wake up in the middle of the night, bing, out of nowhere. And sometimes her heart would be racing. And at first I was like, okay, is this a cortisol thing? Is this a parasite thing? She had done some travel. She loves to garden. We had her wear a continuous glucose monitor. And what we found was at that time when she was waking up, her glucose was dropping below 50. And so how did we address this? We had her take some slow release protein a couple of hours before bed so that her glucose would not drop. We made sure she paired all of her carbs with proteins and fats, but we had her stabilize her blood sugar by also adjusting her evening macros and taking a slow release protein before bed. Well, let me just say this. She doesn't wake up anymore, right? So the root cause for Lisa, a mother, cortisol disruption, very different than Stephanie, a drop in glucose. Number three, a histamine response from mycotoxins. So I had a client in Santa Barbara named Kelly. She had insomnia, exercise intolerance. Her skin would be really itchy. She'd wake up in the middle of the night with anxiety, heart palpitations. And when I think of Santa Barbara, California, I think of dry. And her provider, her naturopath, ran a gut test, a GI map, and it actually looked really good. I've seen hundreds of GI maps. I was like, yours looks actually pretty good. And she's like, I know. I think that's why my naturopath can't figure out what's wrong. And I go, I think you have mold exposure. A lot of times when people are waking up in the middle of the night with anxiety, heart palpitations, they're feeling anxious before they go to bed. They've spent a lot of time in their house. This could be mold exposure. So we ran a mycotoxin test that showed high levels of certain mycotoxins. I go, tell me about your house. Crawl space, attic, visible signs of water damage. What's going on? Humidity issue. Like I think about humidity a little bit when I think about Santa Barbara. She's like, yeah, we have a crawl space. I go, great. Go down there and tell me what the humidity is with the humidity moisture, with the humidity reader. And it was like 95%. And I was, when's the last time it rained at Santa Barbara? She's like, I don't know, 4 months ago. I go, so this humidity, anything above 50%, now mold can grow with sustained humidity. And the crawl space under your entire house has the humidity of above 90%. We need to dry it out, bring in some French drains to pull any moisture away from the house, and bring in more airflow. There is not enough airflow for some reason. This moisture is getting stuck. So a histamine response that is triggered by mold or mycotoxin load can cause the night wake ups. How do we address this? We lead with a low histamine diet. We use supplements to support drainage pathways, liver, gallbladder, gut, and then we use gentle binders. But the missing piece that a lot of people don't address is you have to address not only the health of your body, but the health of your home. And so for her, it was air out the crawl space, figure out why it's damp, French drains, more ventilation, and now she doesn't wake up anymore in the middle of the night. Pretty amazing, right? Number four, parasitic activity at night. So I had a client, Barbara, who would take two naps a day. She would, despite being tired all day, wake up between 1 and 3 a.m. every single night. Then she couldn't go back to bed until the sun rose. And she thought it was because she was stressed because her husband had stage 4 prostate cancer. She felt like she was missing out on life. Like, oh my God, my husband's not going to be here. Like, how much longer? And I want to spend time with him, but I'm so exhausted. I nap twice a day. Her history had told me that she had gone to South Africa 4 times in the last 12 years. I was like, I think you have a parasite. So we checked her blood work. We did a CBC with a differential. Her eosinophils were 10. Anything with eosinophils 3 and above, we put parasite on the list. I then ran a GI map on her. GI map's great. doesn't always pick up parasites. There is a marker on there called eosinophil activation protein. That was off the charts, but there were no parasites picked up. And I was like, huh, that's weird. Again, not the best test. So we ran a more specific test, more sensitive test, that tests 36 different parasites, some protozoa, some worms. And she came back with a moderate to severe load of hookworm and whipworm. I was like, ah, this is what's waking you up. So we address the parasite. 4 months later, she sleeps 6 hours throughout the night. She does not nap anymore. She spends time with her husband. Parasites, why are they active between 1 and 3? This is a phase where our liver is going through detoxification. Parasites can live in the gut, the liver, the gallbladder. They can travel through the diaphragm, travel up into the lungs. You can even find parasites in the brain. So there are different ways to address parasites. Some are herbal support. There are conventional medications. A little more challenging to get in the States because a lot of conventional docs don't believe in parasitic infection in the States. But we address this, and now she sleeps through the night and she has her energy back and she is ecstatic. Her food sensitivities also went away. Her belly bloat went away. She can eat vegetables again. She was not able to eat vegetables before. Number 5, a shift in sex hormones. So Danny, 45-year-old female, perimenopausal, had difficulty falling asleep and staying asleep. Her Dutch test showed low progesterone and low DHEA. DHEA is the precursor to making all the other hormones in the body. She had low GABA due to a drop in progesterone and a low resilience just in general from her low DHEA. So I connected her with someone who could provide HRT support. We also looked at her sex hormones, not only on a Dutch test, but on a serum blood draw, which also showed low progesterone. We addressed these with some GABA support through supplements, bioidentical hormones through a provider who can prescribe HRT, and then support for her adrenals. Super, super common. You see this all the time in the perimenopausal population. Perimenopause can start as early as 35. It does not just start with a drop in FSH and LH. It typically is like progesterone decreases, testosterone starts to drop, estrogen starts to drop. So ladies, do not forget about your sex hormones. Number 6, and really I should have made this number 1, sleep apnea. I had a client, Allison, 37-year-old mother of 2, homeschooled her 2 kids. I just did an episode kind of her sharing her story. So check out Allison B in a couple episodes prior. Allison came to me. She would take a nap at 2 o'clock. She was crashing. She's like, out of my way. I need to go horizontal. And she thought it was because she was homeschooling her 2 kids. And that was like kind of stressful. Her son would ask her to go hiking with her. And she'd be like, I can't. Like a mile in, a mile out. It will totally tank me, like zap my energy. So one of the first things that we checked was her sleep. She goes, no, Em, I am a good sleeper. We do not need a sleep study. It's like, okay. She's like, I sleep 8 to 10 hours a day or at night. I sleep 8 to 10 hours at night. And I'm like, yeah, but you wake up exhausted and you're exhausted through the day. You're tired all the time. You can't even go for a mile hike. Please get a sleep study. It's $180. She's like, okay, home sleep study. So she did the sleep study. The sleep study showed that she was having 20 apneic events. Her body was waking her up 20 times an hour, basically once every 3 minutes. So you can think about, okay, you are not going to be resting and recovering. She was also tracking her sleep with a Oura ring. She was getting 20 minutes of deep sleep a night. Like I said earlier in the episode, we want 1.5 to 2 hours of deep sleep a night. She was getting 20 minutes. So I'm like, okay, we're getting way less than what we should. That was the first tip off. Then we did the sleep study, showed the apneic events. There's 2 ways to address sleep apnea. You go a medical route with a CPAP machine, or you can go the airway oral route. And she's like, well, no one wants a CPAP machine for life. I know I don't. I already don't feel attracted. The last thing I need to do is go to sleep feeling super unattractive with a CPAP machine on my face. And so I go, great, let's have you see a myofunctional therapist. One of my favorite ones is Kimi Herrera at Smile Airway Health in Colorado. She does telemedicine, so all my ladies see her because she's amazing at what she does. And it showed that she had a really narrow palate and her tongue had low tone. And if we have a narrow palate, our tongue cannot sit on the roof of our mouth. And our tongue should sit on the roof of our mouth. Our mouth should be closed and we should breathe through our nose when we're sleeping at night. Her palate was too narrow to have the tongue even sit up there. Then it kind of got lazy and tired and stopped having the strength that it should. And so then her tongue had low tone. So she got a palate expander and immediately, like within a couple weeks, her sleep was better. Her deep sleep was 1 hour and 10 minutes from 20 minutes just through the palate expansion. So she did palate expansion for about, I think, 6 to 9 months. And then she's going to do some like moving of the teeth correction. She did myofunctional therapy with Kimi, but That was so pivotal in getting her feeling better, having more energy, not taking a nap at 2 p.m. every day. I go, girl, when was the last time you took a nap? This was like 3 months into working with each other. She's like, I actually can't remember the last time I took a nap. This was a woman who took 2-hour naps every single day. We just gave her 14 hours of her life back, right? 2 hours a day, 7 days a week, that's 14 hours. And she has like a whole day, 14 hours, to do what she loves to do, be with her kids, go hiking. Her kids are in high school. She realizes she only has so much time with them. And when we first met, she's like, I'm sitting on the sidelines of my life and I don't want to do that anymore. She always felt like she would be attending an event, like going on the boat on the lake, but she wasn't like really all there because she was worried about protecting her energy. And she just told herself the story of like, okay, this is just who I am, my makeup. She had done a 6-month functional medicine program around AIP earlier, did not change a thing. We gave her energy back with a root cause approach. This is in my one-on-one functional medicine practice. We looked at sleep. She also had a gut infection, H. pylori. Go listen to her episode. And we also addressed mold. She does not take a nap anymore. She doesn't even want to take a nap. She just went to Washington, D.C. to visit her sister. And they did this 10-mile loop. And her sister's like, you okay? You need to take a nap? She's like, no, I'm good. Girl could not walk a mile without taking a nap afterwards and being like, I'm not making dinner. Kids, you make dinner. To walking 10 miles and feeling amazing and being like, no, let's keep going. That is what it means to change your life and have presence, be with your kids. I am a big believer if the mothers of the world feel better, the world is a better place. If the mothers start to get healthy and feel better and get their energy back and lose weight and feel amazing and sexy in their body, the world is a better place. So for Allison, it was this airway resistance because of a narrow palate and low tongue tone. She also had mold. We're also going to deal with some low progesterone, but we moved away. We didn't go the CPAP route. So when we talk about a functional approach for sleep, we're talking about sleep study, LOFTA, home sleep study, super easy to order on your own, mouth taping. I like dream recovery. Those are my favorite. Nasal strips. I like intake breathing for nasal strips. I'll drop these all in the show notes. And then checking for mold, blue blocker glasses when you sleep. These are just some of the tools that I talk about. So we just talked about six root causes of sleep disturbances. These root causes are what we test for, we target, and we transform your body from the inside out inside of my one-on-one root cause functional medicine coaching program. If you listened to this episode and you saw yourself in any of these stories, know this. Sleep is not optional. It is not, I'll sleep when I die. It is absolutely a non-negotiable if you want to feel good and have energy to dial in your sleep. And if there are sleep disturbances, maybe it's one of the six that I talked about, 100% addressable, fixable. So when we give your body what it needs, sleep comes back online. So does your energy, your focus, and your ability to heal. So check the show notes for all those sleep recommendations I made in terms of products. And then also, if you're like, I need help with my sleep, I also need help with body composition, gut, root cause, hormonal health. I'm going to drop a link in the show notes. It is a free discovery call to my one-on-one functional medicine practice. It is all telehealth. So you can find a time on my schedule there to chat. And just know, ladies, sleep is a non-negotiable. It is not we'll sleep when we die. It is foundational to getting your energy back, to getting your brain back, to flipping the switch back on your brain and to feeling good and feeling like yourself again and to losing weight. So sleep is an issue. We need to start there and build everything from there. All right, ladies, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, drop a 5-star review and some amazing words on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast episodes. I will see you next week.